Isn't it great hearing miracles? We have miracles all over the place. Who's been healed by Jesus in this room? Look at all the people. Literally been, I'm not talking literal, not figurative. You've literally been healed by Jesus. See? Look at those. Hands all over the place. Miracles happen all the time. It's the problem is the church doesn't talk about miracles anymore. And so the devil gets his glory, but God doesn't get any glory. Well, I'm here to tell you, we give God glory because God's great. That by his stripes you were. Amen. That's the word of God. We want to welcome, let's give a hand clap to all of our online campus all over the world. They're watching right now. In fact, somebody might be sick online. Let's just lift our hands right now. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, anybody who's watching online that's dealing with sickness, Lord, we release the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is not governed by room or distance or time. We release the anointing right now, and we curse sickness and disease, foul spirit of infirmity. Come out in the name of Jesus. Then, Lord, they'll be healed just by watching on their computer. In Jesus' name, to God be the glory, all great things he has done. Amen. I said amen. How many of you are bringing your mother to Mother's Day? Oh, my goodness. How pathetic. How many? What's that? How many are bringing your mothers to Women's Day? I fixed that for you.
We need to welcome our guest in the house this morning. If it's your first time here, we have a gift for you, so if you could raise your hand so we have our team in the aisles ready to give you a gift. Thank you so much. Welcome. Welcome. Thank you. Yep, just raise your hand up. We have a gift right on the front row. I love it when visitors come and sit on the front row. How awesome. You are brave and you are bold and you are strong. That is awesome. Real men come as visitors and sit on the front row, right, guys? That's awesome. Thank you so much, all of the visitors that have come to the house today. Welcome. We pray that you leave having felt the presence of an all-powerful God. You know what? God's power makes us happy. He is good all the time and never bad. We're going to enter into our time of tithes and offerings, and I love talking about finances. We need to talk about money because people are broke. God's sons and daughters are broke and in debt and have financial struggle, and it is not God's desire. So I love the opportunity each week to share with you kingdom finances. Let me read a scripture to you. It's Psalms 35, verse 27, and it says, "Let them say continually." Continually, not intermittently, not in the mountaintops, skip the valleys, mountaintop. Continually, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his children. God takes pleasure in prosperity of his children. It makes him happy when his children are blessed and prosperous. As parents, we get happy when our children are successful and prosperous. How much more our Heavenly Father wants to see all of his children blessed and prosperous. It brings him joy. So having said that, I want to read to you a very common scripture that we read about tithes and offerings, and that's in Malachi 3:8. And I want you to listen carefully because there's two words at the end of this that I think we skip over really quickly. And it says, "Wherein have we robbed thee?" So God had told his children to come back to him because you've robbed me. And they said, "Well, where have we robbed you?" And it says in verse 8, "You have robbed me in the tithes and the offerings." Now, we understand tithe. That is 10%. It is holy. It is God's. So if we keep that, that is robbing God. That's easy. That's a no-brainer. But why does it say, "and the offerings"? Because I thought offering was a free will thing. You just give it as you desire. There's no amount set on it. There's nothing have to give. In the offerings, you've robbed me. So that makes us a little questioning. And, well, maybe the Bible's off a little bit. But I want to refer you back down to the scripture that we just took. You know, when you go out to dinner and you bring friends with you and you try to bless them and they fight over it and try to pay, no, don't rob me of my blessing. Did you hear that? Don't rob me of my blessing. Let's go back to Psalms 35. God takes pleasure in blessing you. Don't rob him of his ability to bless and prosper his children. It is his joy. So that is why in that it says that you've robbed me in your tithe and offering, because he desires to bless you. He takes pleasure in your prosperity. Are you ready to please Daddy this morning with your tithes and offerings? Are you ready to let him get pleasure out of blessing and prospering you? Stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration. Man, church isn't just a building. And it's not just a tradition. We're in this place. God is doing something. Something's happening. You're going to leave this place changed and transformed. I think somebody needs to get excited about what God is doing. So we just repeat the word of God. This is a simple scripture from God's word that is powerful in its truth. It's Deuteronomy 28, and it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They have tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And it pleases our Father. Come on and bring your tithe and your offering and allow Daddy to bless and prosper you. If you're watching online, just click on the giving button and give right along with us.
That God's on your side. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are blessed by first service. Turn to somebody and say, I've been blessed by the first service, folk. The reason is because I can only preach as long as I preach in the first service. Because this could be an everlasting gospel today. But we are going to have to cut it off and finish. I'm going to finish it next week. How many of you will be willing to come back next week to hear the remainder of this message? I want to encourage you, don't get the part of, get the whole of. This is the year of. I said, this is the year of. Kingdom seed. I want to remind you that you are a dual citizen. You are a citizen of heaven, and you are a citizen of the earth. But you and I, this is not our home. Turn to someone and say, this is not my home. The Bible says we are foreigners here. We are sojourners here. We are ambassadors here. Don't get comfortable. This is not your home. Your home is in heaven. Your home is with God. You are part of the kingdom of God. When we understand kingdom mentality, we start understanding that the kingdom is more powerful than the natural, that God is supernatural, and the principles that he has for you and I to live within are going to allow us to be successful, not just when we get to heaven, but right here on this earth. Now, the number one key, and I want to remind you about there are keys to the kingdom. One of the great keys to the kingdom is called seed. God created the seed, we see in the book of Genesis, and in the seed is life. Everything I need is in the, I said, everything I need is in the seed. We also know that God created dirt. In fact, you and I are from dirt. When you start looking at science, you and I are 59% dirt. Turn to someone and say, but you look better than the dirt. You and I are 59% dirt. It's amazing how God created man out of the earth. He also created all the animals and the birds out of dirt. God created out of dirt. In fact, when God was getting ready to plant the garden, the Bible says that God planted the garden for Adam and Eve. He didn't go out and say, let there be, and there was. God created it by going out and using the same principles that he's giving to us. God planted, he planted, turn to someone and say, planted. God planted the garden for Adam and Eve, which means it had to grow, which means it had to have dirt, which means that God doesn't only tell us to live by a principle, God himself lives by the principle. So if the King of Kings and Lord of Lords lives by the principle, why should we not live by the principle? If it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. I said, if it works for God, it will work for you. You see, the word of God is powerful, it is real, it is alive, and today the word is even the seed. And so we've been talking about, the first of the year, we started talking about how our time was seed. 168 hours we have a week is seed, and how we plant the seed of our time determines whether we will be successful in the vision and the purpose of our lives. We also talked about how our thoughts, as a man thinks, so he is. Our thoughts are determining factors of how we seed and allow what thoughts to be planted in our mind, determine scientifically whether you'll be physically healthy or physically sick. 98% of all sicknesses are right now, by science, determined by how you think. We went through the whole process of science and how even as I'm talking right now, the words that are getting in you, the words of God that are getting in you, are literally creating in your physical brain. We are powerful people, and as you think, you are. So the need to understand the seed is absolutely imperative. And you, turn to someone and say, that's you. Tell somebody that's you. You are the seed of God, but also you are dirt. Well, why is this important? Because we're getting ready to talk about, we started last week, about Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower and the seed. And you and I are the ones who determine whether we will be successful or not. You know, there's a mindset out there that God is in control of everything. And I want you to know that is a lie. Well, God is in control. That is a lie. Well, God's in control of everything. Oh, now listen now. Ultimately, the ultimate will of God will always be and come to fruition. There will be an end times. There will be an antichrist. There will be a great tribulation. There will be judgments. I'm not saying that. But in every one of our lives, we are the ones that are going to determine whether we are going to be successful and fulfill God's purpose. It's not God. It's us. The problem with that is we all want to blame God. Well, you know, it must be God's will that I failed. It must be God's will that I had this. It must be God's will that I'm sick. It must be God's will. And I'm telling you today, we've got to grab a hold of God is and will not and cannot, according to his word, do two things. He will never supersede the will of man. And he will never go against his word. So that means that how we plant has the direct the direct result available of success or failure with how we determine we're going to plant our time, how we determine we're going to plant our thoughts, and how we are going to allow our soil to be for the word of God to be laid upon. For the seed, when it dies, brings forth fruit and brings forth life. You see, we are this powerful seed. Genesis chapter 9, verse 9. And behold, I establish my covenant with you. This is God speaking. With you, your seed after you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, you and I need to recognize we control the major factor of success or failure. You know, people tell me all the time, well, I just want to be happy. And I look at them and say, you're a liar. No, really, I mean, I've done counseling for years. They come to my office, well, I just want to be happy in my marriage. Well, I just want to be happy in life. And this is what I always do. So if you come to me for marital counseling or premarital counseling, you're going to find this. I always give you a book to read. And they look at me like, I hate reading. But if they come back and they haven't read the book, I won't counsel with them anymore. Well, why? Because they're lying. If they say they want to be successful, but they're unwilling to learn principles of success, then they really don't want to be happy. If you're not happy and you want to be happy, but you're unwilling to change what you're doing, then you really don't want to be happy. And this is the direct effect of how we plant the seeds of our lives. Because that is going to determine whether you're going to be happy or not. That's going to determine whether you're going to be successful or not. In your marriage, in your children's lives, at your workplace, in the kingdom of God. Man, I don't know about you, but one day when I stand before God, this is what I want him to say. Well done, thou good and... Well done, thou good and... Faithful with what? Faithful with the seeds that he has given us while we're here on this planet. That's where we're faithful or not faithful. And so there's a direct determination by you and I whether or not we are going to have God say that to us or, thank God I got in by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I want the Lord to be so proud of me, which means I've got to take my life serious, and I've got to look at my life, especially even if you're young in this room. If you're a young man or a young woman, you've got to watch how you plant your seeds. I have literally watched lives be transformed, and not in a positive manner, by one seed that was planted in bad ground. Watched it. And today, we've got to know how we're doing it. Turn to someone and say, don't live by accident. Tell somebody else, don't live by accident. The environment of the ground determines the prosperity of the seed. Say it again. The environment of the ground determines directly the prosperity of the seed. We know the seed, the Bible declares, there's life in the seed. Unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot produce fruit. So we know that we are seed. But at the same time, we are soil. And the determination on the environment of our soil has a direct impact on what this seed can accomplish. This seed is called a corn seed. One piece of corn creates one stalk. One stalk is between 2 and 3 ears. At the highest level of productivity, every single ear has over 800 pieces of corn. What does that mean? That means one seed on the ground. Man, I know farmers. He let me ride one of those little bobcats. They were really fun. I didn't hit anything either, not even a cow. I had so much fun, but man, what I learned is that, you and I have the direct. I said, are you planting this year? And he said, yeah, I'm going to plant. And he went through what he was going to plant. And he says, but you know, at first I got to do a soil test, and then I got to send it in, and I got to get tested, and I got to figure out what I got to put in the ground, nitrogen or whatever he was saying. I don't know. There's a lot of science to it. Because the ground determines whether or not all of that seed is going to be a waste of money. You do know that costs a farm, right? That seed is going to be a waste of money, or it's going to produce the crop that's going to allow him to be prosperous at the end of harvest. Our harvest is what we're ultimately after. Don't look at your seed only, but determine your seed by seeing what. This is a kingdom print. This is a kingdom print bothered by him. I don't know if he's even bothered by him. I don't know if he's even bothered by him. I don't know if he's even. But you got no money. He says, I know, but I know how to sow. When you learn this principle, it's not about, because, but you got no money. He says, I know, but I know how to sow. When you learn this principle, it's not about, because, he says, I know, but I know how to sow. When you learn this principle, it's not about, because what are you going to do with what you got? When anyone hears them and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. And what is sown in the heart, this is he who receives seed on the waste by the wayside. Number two, understand it. Then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. And what is sown in the heart, this is he who receives seed on the waste by the wayside. Number two, you receive the seed on stony places are the ones who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. That means they got saved, they're excited. God have no root in themselves, but endures only for a while. When tribulation or persecution comes, arises because of the word, because of the what? Because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Number three, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who receives the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes out the word and becomes unfruitful. We went through these two last week, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time with them. If you would like to, you can go on www.histabernacle.com. We have them online for you. But the first one is hard ground. This is where your heart is hard. There are people that are here today. You're hearing the word of God. And whether you like it or not, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, and the bone and the marrow is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So as you're listening to me, the Bible declares that Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. As I'm speaking to you, the word seed is coming to your heart. Seed is coming to your ground. Seed is coming into your life. Now, some of you are hard-hearted. That means, man, you just don't want God. You want nothing to do with God. And it's not even that if someone convinced you, it wouldn't really matter because your heart is hard. Therefore, what happens according to the word of God? The seed comes. As I'm preaching, the seed comes to your life. It hits the hard ground. And guess what happens to it? Well, the Bible says that the devil comes and steals it because it's by the wayside. Now, you need to understand how powerful the devil is and what he's really after. You see, the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. His whole purpose in life is to make sure that you do not spend your eternity with Jesus Christ. His goal is to make sure that you will spend eternity with him in the lake of fire. As a believer, those of us who understand Christ, we know that when you hear the word, what happens? Faith arises, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, the devil ultimately is after your faith. The word is what brings forth faith. So the way to destroy faith is to destroy the word or the seed. So when seed falls on bad ground, guess what happens to it? It is not producing faith. Therefore, the enemy can come and steal the seed. The enemy desires to steal the word of God from your life. His goal is to make sure that you don't make it to church. His goal is to make sure that you do not grow in the kingdom. His goal is to make sure that you don't pray and read the word. Why? Because the more seed you got in you, the more faith will arise. And the more faith that will arise, you will not be in this bed or that bed, but you'll be in the best bed. So you see, some of you, you've allowed your heart to get hard. Some of you have had bad lives, man, straight up. Bad lives, crappy lives. You've had lives where you've been kicked around, pushed around, denied. You've been rejected by your mother, by your father, by situations, and by husband, by wife. You've been cheated on. You've been lied about. You've been thrown aside. Listen, I want you to know something. You need to allow Jesus Christ to be the one who will soften your heart. And I want you to know that, man, God can change your life. It's not religion. This is Jesus. Jesus changes the life. But if your heart is hard, the enemy will come and just pick it off. The second type of ground is called stony ground. Stony ground is interesting because the Bible says that a person comes to the house of God like this, or you share the gospel with them, they give their heart to Jesus. The Bible says they accept it with joy. Man, God has done something in my life. It's exciting. I know God is real. I've experienced him. But what happens is, the Bible says so very clearly that if I just believe that the ground is good and that it has been given life so that I can produce a fruit that I don't just got to stare at and say, that's nasty. That's called a weed. Maybe you want to eat a weed. Oh, don't answer me. We'll do delivery. Maybe you want to eat a weed. Oh, don't answer me. We'll do delivery afterwards. The next kind of bed is this. And this is where we find sin will increase and the love of many will wax cold. That in the last days, you'll find will increase and the love of many will wax cold. That in the last days, you'll find individuals, even the elect, being deceived. Well, why is that? Because the enemy of our soul knows that his time is numbered. But this is what he does know. He can look at the signs of the time too, and he can see how all the world is being set up prophetically. This is not fulfilled before Jesus Christ cracks the eastern sky. That means before this service is over, the trumpet of God should sound, or could sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a reality. You see, the enemy knows that if he can get you to a position where you accept him, but you don't stay with him, there is no greater treasure to Lucifer than one who once followed Christ that now is his. Oh, no, I'm not talking religion. You see, this is the kind of ground the Bible says. They hear the word. They take some element of root. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke it out. Listen now. It is really funny. American church is funny. You know, I love that our church is filled with all these different nations. And how people follow Christ in other nations is so different from here. In America, The average churchgoer goes once every 3 weeks. That's American church, by the way. How many of you beat that? That's a good sign. And what happens is this. It's not that they aren't genuine. It's not that they didn't have a genuine experience with Jesus. But what happened was, all of a sudden, the cares of this world. Now, I want you to recognize the diabolical plot of Lucifer is not running around in a little red suit with a pitchfork with a long tail and saying, hey, I'm the devil. The plot of Lucifer is that he's the angel of light. So what he does is he will bring many people into this realm. How? Usually by good things. Not gross sin, not being foul, not you're not chanting and walking around a pentagram naked, worshiping Satan, sacrificing children in the middle. You do know that happens, right? But what happens is the enemy of our soul knows that if he came like that, you and I would say, no. But what he'll do is he'll get us so busy, so engulfed with the cares of this world, which is temporal, that we no longer go to church. We no longer read. We no longer pray. We have all the right excuses because we have all the right reasons. Listen now, I'm going to offend people, so that's just the way it is. I'm sorry. You're in the wrong church if you don't want to be offended. So, you know, I'm just going to preach the word. The cares of this world are different in America than they are anywhere else. You see, in America, in fact, let's just talk about the Northeast. I was talking to Risa. We were talking just a few weeks ago. And we were talking about how in the Northeast, so many parents stop coming to church because their kids have a soccer game. Is there anything wrong with soccer? No. Well, unless you're bad. I was bad at soccer, so it was bad. Is there anything wrong with hunting? Man, there are people not here today because they're all trying to kill a turkey. Some who killed the turkey already? Oh, glory to God, I'm coming to your house, brother. Let's have some turkey. I'm going to get mine this week. There are some people that give up their walk with God for what? I've literally watched people give up their walk with God for a dollar an hour raise for Sundays. I've watched people give up their walk with God for a girl or a guy. You know, in fact, if you studied, and we did, we had somebody study this, they studied the 30 and 40-year-old women in this church that once got saved, that no longer are following God, and we did some research, and this is what we found. They got lonely, so they went to the bars, or they hung out with their friends, and they started dating sinners. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked, and so that simply means this. You, if you're a guy or a girl and you're not married, you should not be dating someone that does not know Jesus. Well, what do you mean by that? The Bible says, what do you have in common with Baal? And when you're not serving Christ, who are you serving? It's only two masters. So here we are. I've watched so many people. They surrender their soul. Watch. They surrender their soul for a leather ball. They surrender their soul for NASCAR. They surrender their soul for a dollar more an hour. And the cares of this world, all of a sudden what happens is all of these briars start coming up in their life. And that seed that needs to die so it can live cannot die. So it cannot live. So even though God has a design, the DNA is already planted in this seed. The DNA in you is already planted in you. The plan of God, he said, I knew you before you were ever born. I knew you in your mother's womb. He said, I've got a plan for you. But God's plan, God's DNA, cannot come out of your seed unless it is in good ground. But it cannot give if it's choked out. America, we're very interested. I'm not bashing America. I love America. We were talking recently, and we were saying about the sports. Down south, it's so different from up north. Down south, if they planned a soccer game for your kid, let's just say at 10 a.m., that team would have to forfeit that game. Game, which is temporary, rather than invest the word, which is eternal, an issue. I'm almost done. Two more hours, we'll be out of here. One of these days. Just kidding. One of these days. Just kidding. One of these days. One of these days. But it's not just the busyness of life. It's not just the care. The Bible says you cannot serve both God and mammon. We know who God is, but what's mammon? The Bible says you cannot serve both God and mammon. We know who God is. But what's mammon? He walks to church 4.5 miles. Where is he? Oh, there you are. He walks 4 miles, 4.5. 4.5 miles to church every Sunday, one way. And he walks 4.5 miles to Rock Solid Faith every Tuesday. And then home, he prays for a ride. But you know, that's still about money because he has shoes. They cost money. How many of you are glad somebody thinks about money or they'd be naked? Ah! I used to be studly. Now I'm bubbly. Alex Kuhnel, he's ripped. Money is such a powerful tool the enemy uses in our lives. We've got to recognize that the enemy wants you to be distracted by finances. Success is not money. I know people that have very little money that are very happy. But you're a church that preaches prosperity. Prosperity is this. Prosperity is having more than just what you need. It has nothing to do with the amounts. True prosperity is being able to bless somebody else, and it's not always with money. God does not want you in a position where you start surrendering your salvation because your ground is messed up with thorns and thistles, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And riches are deceitful. There are so many that have millions and millions and millions of dollars that have killed themselves. Come on, we know their names. We've seen them on television. They look happy. They look all enthralled and thrilled. They've got everything this world could ever offer, but something's missing. You see, each one of us determine. We determine this. See, I can change my seedbed by making a determination that I'm refusing to leave it the same. I can say, ow. And it hurts sometimes to change your seedbed. It means you change your friends. You change what you normally do. You make a determination that you're not going to, ooh, that did hurt. I love M&Ms. Here's my question. My children are sinful. Here's my question for you. What kind of ground are you? What kind of ground are you? If you had to determine what kind of ground you are you one of these three? And if you're not one of these three, I got good news for you. You're in the plan of God. But if you are one of these three, you can learn how to get rid of this nasty bed that's going to produce nothing of prosperity in your life. And you can make a determination that I am going to be a person that will please God. I'm going to be a person that will propel the vision that God has put within me. That my life will not be just passed by. That I won't be just somebody that just makes it to heaven by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I'm going to fulfill God's destiny for my life, no matter what the cost. Which bed are you? Some of you started off up here in the good ground. I mean, you had that God experience that transformed your life. And you placed yourself right in this bed. Then all of a sudden you started getting distracted. You started letting the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Now, I know there are folks that have to work on Sunday. We have guards that are here. We have doctors that are here. We have nurses that are here. We understand that that's a portion, and that people have to do that. You know, there are times you have to work. But more people than not don't have to work on a Sunday. They choose to. I'll just give this. I always told my children when they went for a job, tell them you don't work Sunday mornings. And they said, well, we might not get the job. I said, then you won't get the job. I remember one time one of Chad's employers called and said, you have to be here Sunday morning. And I called up the place. I said, this will be his last day working. And they said, what do you mean by that? We need him. He's a really good worker. I said, that's right. I don't care if he's a good worker or not. I told you he don't work on Sundays. You got to choose. You do. That's really what it comes down to. You choose your bed. You've heard the old saying, I've chosen my bed and I got to lie in it. You don't have to lie in it. God will transform your bed. God will transform your soil. The word of God will heal you, will set you free, will put you in position of prosperity. God wants you blessed and not cursed. But we have got to determine which bed we are going to be. And then don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at God. Because this is not determined by him. It's determined by you. Well, I just want to be happy. You're a liar. Well, I just want God's will in my life. Liar! Because if you really want it, you'll fix the bed. Fix the bed. What are you lying in? What's the seed of heaven going in today? The word that was preached, where is it right now? Well, I'm offended. You're probably number one. Well, I like it. Boy, I really like it, and I know I need to make a decision. But I, you know, all my friends and all this. You're number two. Boy, I'm serving the Lord. I'm so excited about Jesus 6 months down the road. Well, Pastor, I've missed 3 weeks in a row. In fact, I talked to Pastor Dan. Oh, my goodness. 190 people in this house have missed 3 weeks in a row. It's a whole other congregation. But they can't understand why the will of God isn't working in their life. Say this with me. Duh. You'll never see that in the field of a farmer. You just see it in the fields of the believers. They don't complain because they know if it's like this, they can't live. They can't get a harvest. Yet we say, God, where are you? God said, duh. Next week we're going to finish. Is that all right? You see, because this bed is amazing. This bed here produces 30, 60, and 100-fold. That means for every single seed you place in that bed, he walks to church 4.5 miles. Where is he? Oh, there you are. He walks 4 miles, 4.5. 4.5 miles to church every Sunday, one way. And he walks 4.5 miles to Rock Solid Faith every Tuesday. And then home, he prays for a ride. But you know, that's still about money because he has shoes. They cost money. How many of you are glad somebody thinks about money or they be naked? Ah! I used to be studly. Now I'm bubbly. Alex Kuhnel. Money is such a powerful tool the enemy uses in our lives. We've got to recognize that the enemy wants you to be distracted by finances. Success is not money. I know people that have very little money that are very happy. But you're a church that preaches prosperity. Prosperity is this. Prosperity is having more than just what you need. It has nothing to do with the amounts. True prosperity is being able to bless somebody else, and it's not always with money. God does not want you in a position where you start surrendering your salvation because your ground is messed up with thorns and thistles, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, and riches are deceitful. There are so many that have millions and millions and millions of dollars that have killed themselves. Come on, we know their names. We've seen them on television. They look happy. They look all enthralled and thrilled. They've got everything this world could ever offer, but something's missing. You see, each one of us determine. We determine this. See, I can change my seedbed by making a determination that I'm refusing to leave it the same. I can say, you know, oh, ow,
And you know, it hurts sometimes to change your seedbed. It means you change your friends. You change what you normally do. You make a determination that you're not going to, ooh, that did hurt. I love M&M's. Here's my question. My children are sinful. Here's my question for you. What kind of ground are you? What kind of ground are you? If you had to determine what kind of ground you are you one of these three? And if you're not one of these three, I got good news for you. You're in the plan of God. But if you are one of these three, you can learn how to get rid of this nasty bed that's going to produce nothing of prosperity in your life. And you can make a determination that I am going to be a person that will please God. I'm going to be a person that will propel the vision that God has put within me. That my life will not be just passed by. That I won't be just somebody that just makes it to heaven by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I'm going to fulfill God's destiny for my life, no matter what the cost. Bet are you? Some of you started off up here in the good ground. I mean, you had that God experience that transformed your life. And you placed yourself right in this bed. Then all of a sudden you started getting distracted. You started letting the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Now I know there are folks that have to work on Sunday. We have guards that are here. We have doctors that are here. We have nurses that are here. We understand that that's a portion, and that people have to do that. You know, there are times you have to work. But more people than not don't have to work on a Sunday. They choose to. I'll just give you this. I always told my children when they went for a job, tell them you don't work Sunday mornings. And they said, well, we might not get the job. I said, then you won't get the job. I remember one time one of Chad's employers called and said, you have to be here Sunday morning. And I called up the place and said, this will be his last day working. And they said, what do you mean by that? We need him. He's a really good worker. I said, that's right. I don't care if he's a good worker or not. I told you he don't work on Sundays. You got to choose. You do. That's really what it comes down to. You choose your bed. You've heard the old saying, I've chosen my bed and I got to lie in it. You don't have to lie in it. God will transform your bed. God will transform your soil. The Word of God will heal you, will set you free, will put you in position of prosperity. God wants you blessed and not cursed. But we have got to determine which bed we are going to be. And then don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at God. Because this is not determined by him, it's determined by you. Well, I just want to be happy. You're a liar. Well, I just want God's will in my life. Liar! Because if you really want it, you'll fix the bed. Fix the bed. What are you lying in? What's the seed of heaven going in today? The word that was preached, where is it right now? Well, I'm offended. You're probably number one. Well, I like it. Boy, I really like it, and I know I need to make a decision. But all my friends and all this. You're number two. Boy, I'm serving the Lord. I'm so excited about Jesus. 6 months down the road. Well, Pastor, I've missed 3 weeks in a row. In fact, I talked to Pastor Dan. Oh, my goodness. 190 people in this house have missed 3 weeks in a row. It's a whole other congregation. But they can't understand why the will of God isn't working in their life. Say this with me. Duh. You'll never see that in the field of a farmer.
You just see it in the fields of the believers. They don't complain because they know if it's like this, they can't live. They can't get a harvest. Yet we say, God, where are you? God said, duh. Next week we're going to finish. Is that all right? You see, because this bed is amazing. This bed here produces 30, 60, and 100 fold. That means for every single seed you place in that bed, now I don't know about you, I want to be one of the 100 guys. But you see, that is also determined by the person who has the bed. We'll end there. We hope to see you next week. Will you bow your heads with me? I love this message because it is so powerfully pertinent to every single one of us in this room. The environment that we choose to develop for our work, for our faith, that we choose to develop for our work, for our faith, for our King, is not determined by anybody but us. And I have a question for you. And I have a question for you. Look at your ground. Who are you today? You see, you can change the bed. It doesn't take long. Repentance is so powerful because it changes everything. Repentance is, I'm going one way and I'm turning around going the other. I'm not changing anymore. God wants you to repent if you're one of those other three beds. And he said, listen now, I want you to be in the best. Made for the best. Not for survival. Survival stinks. Not going to get a thorn or a thistle trying to creep into your bed. But you see, that's the great part about it. If God's for you, who can be against you? He can pull them forward, creep into your bed. But you see, that's the great part about it. If God's for you, who can be against you? He can pull them forward. Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. I need to explain this to you because I want you to understand clearly. The seed has gone to you. Faith has risen today. Faith, you cannot hear the word without your faith automatically rising. So now you have enough faith to be saved. Where is the seed falling? See, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I'm asking you to know Christ because he's the one that changes a life, not a church or a religion. Church won't ever get you to heaven. Christ gets you to heaven. The blood gets you to heaven. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I want to introduce to you the very best friend you're ever going to have. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When everybody else abandons you, I will be right there. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I want you to slide your hand up right now. Come on, I want you to put your hand right in the air and say, I want God. Is there anyone in the room? This morning already, we had 5 or 6 folks give their hearts to Jesus. We had 10 folks give their heart to Jesus in first service. This morning, I don't want you to be left behind. I don't want you to not know Jesus. Today, if you want to accept Christ, you want to allow the seed to go on good ground. You want God to change your life. You want your guilt and your shame to be gone. You want Jesus to give you your destiny. If that's you, I want you to shoot your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait real long. Come on, get your hand up. 5. Come on, get your hand up. 4, 3, 2. Last call. I never beg. Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else this morning? Come on, is there anyone else? Get your hand up. 1. Father, I thank you for this young man. He'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that today we choose. And Lord, we choose life and not death. We choose you, God, and not the world. We choose success and not failure. We choose to live in abundance and not survival. We choose the word of God. Lord, today I just speak blessing over every single person that's in this room. And I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I declare that the devil cannot steal this word today in Jesus' name. But God, even as people lay their head down at night, Lord, this message will start ringing in their spirit. Holy Ghost! Ghost, I ask that you'll be that hound of heaven that will not allow them to run from this message, but God, that it will get in their spirit and bring conviction to salvation. God, I thank you that you're good and you love us so very much. In Jesus' name. I like that young man. If you'll do this, dude, I'm going to ask you to be brave. Why don't you come meet me right up front right now? Right up front right now. If you'd like to receive Jesus and you didn't raise your hand, let's all stand. Let's all stand. If you'd like to receive Jesus and you did not raise your hand, I want you to meet me right here, right now. Get right out of your chair. Come right up front. I'm so proud of you, man. Very proud of you, young lady. Very proud of you. Come on now. I'd like the prayer team to come across the front of the altar right now. If you need prayer for anything, I just want you to come on up. If the prayer team will minister to you in the Holy Ghost. And today I want you to know that you need to be excited about Jesus and share the gospel all over the planet. Can I hear an amen? Shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Be blessed and enjoy your day for Christ.
If you're a guest in the house, actually, one moment. If you got seed, we didn't get to plant that today. If you'll hand that back in or make sure you bring it back with you next Sunday so you can participate with planting the seed. And if you're a guest in the house, we have a reception down this hallway. Please come. The pastors would love to get to know you and meet you and shake your hand. So come right next door if you're a guest in the house with us today, and we will greet you.
There is power.